recently I told you that I opened up a new museum in the old jail and gallows building here in Asheville, North Carolina. And then one night I got snowed in, and I had to spend the night by myself in this creepy room they considered the hole, where people were put and punished and so on. And I was pretty frightened, I must say, when something jerked my coat off of me, which I was using just to cover up with during the middle of the night. And so I knew that that was an active area. Well, just a little over a week ago, we have a young woman named Kat Wilson who works at the museum, and she was closing up by herself. And Kat was walking through that same area of the building, and she was stunned to suddenly slam directly into this tall, dark, full-bodied apparition of a man. And in fact, it was so tangible, she thought she'd just rudely run full force into a person. She kind of stumbled and tripped around him, almost knocked some chairs over. And of course, when she realized this was a ghost that just disappeared, she was rattled, she was scared, and she left very quickly. Now, Kat texted and called me and told me about this. Now, mind you, this happened to her around 6 p.m. on January the 23rd, which was a Sunday. Less than 3 hours after Kat told me about this, I got an email from Vance Pollock, who is a member of my team, Lemur. He's also the chief historian at the museum. And Vance knew absolutely nothing about Kat's experience. And yet Vance was excited because he had just so happened to find out that day that there was a sheriff of this county and also a former chief of police named John Lyerly, who committed suicide in our building in 1924. He went in there one day, took out his service revolver, actually, and shot himself in the head. And that's when we discovered that he did this on January 23rd of 1924, exactly to the day, 87 years before Kat saw his full-bodied apparition.
Oh, my.
Now, let me tell you, to see this evolve, to get Kat's report and hear her words, and then to have Vance send this information, having no idea about her experience, and to see the pieces come together, and to know this was the anniversary, it literally sent the chill down my spine. And, you know, I've been doing this kind of research for so long, I know that usually ghost stories and ghostly encounters are kind of sketchy and messy and unresolved affairs. When you see everything come together in a neat little package, almost like you might tell around the campfire if you were looking for an ironic twist, that is so rare, it's so special, it leaves you no doubt that these experiences are genuine. And so as you can imagine now, we have some very extensive research taking place in the old jail and gallows museum here in Asheville. And I'm extremely excited that I'm in the position to control a property that has this kind of activity.
That's exciting. Let's go to some open line calls here, Josh. You ready? You and I, it's just like being in a stagecoach. You're riding shotgun. I'm holding the reins of the horses. And here we go. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Let's go to Sacramento, California. Edward is on the wild card line. Hey, Edward, go ahead.
Hi, good morning, George. I'm listening to you a lot. And I got a comment that I had experienced when I was about 8 years old.
All right.
And what happened is that I remember I was outside, and then my dad was talking to his friends. And all of a sudden, I saw this this disc. And it was hovering about 150 feet away from me, about 50 feet up the ground.
That's pretty close.
Yeah, it was pretty close. I remember I was 7 years old. It was August 7, 1984. And then I went and talked to my dad so that way he can come and look at the disc. So, I mean, I was like 8 years old, basically. And then So my dad didn't listen to me because he was talking to his friends. And then I went back to see if the disc was still there. And when I went back, I saw that disc move up. I don't know, roughly. It just moved. And then, so I run back and talked to my dad. So he came over, and then he saw the disc. But when we saw the disc, the first time I saw it, I was just like a magnet. I was just watching.
Locked right in on it, huh?
No. Basically, I just stood because I was behind a tree, and I saw the disc, but I saw it for like 5 minutes. I was just, you know.
That's a long time, Edward, to see something like
that. Yeah, well, it was a long time. And after the 5 minutes, I went to talk to my dad. So the second time, my dad came and he saw the disc. And then, well, unfortunately, my dad passed away last week.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but anyways, and then on the same, I don't know, it's a lot of strange things happen on this farm. Because I remember one time I was with my dad and one of the workers. And then we were sitting, and my dad was talking to the worker, and all of a sudden we were talking about this stuff that happens when they were young, and all of a sudden a plate starts spinning.
Josh, have you ever been on a location that weird things like that happen?
Yeah, Edward, that's really interesting to me because I knew a man who unfortunately recently passed on who had a very similar experience on his property. He actually went outside to smoke a cigarette one evening, and he looked over and he saw a disc-shaped object that was kind of silently hovering, hanging, as he described it, near some trees. And he was a curious sort, and so he walked over to it and just stood there and looked at it, and it was almost like a moment frozen in time. It didn't make any sound. It seemed very stable. And so the man's name was Bill. Bill reached out, and he decided to touch this thing. It was low enough he thought he could do it. And when his fingers got just about an inch away from it, it suddenly jerked about 6 inches away. And, of course, that startled him. And so he tried again, and he moved closer, and this time the disc once again jerked a few inches away, and then finally it just went and zipped off into the sky. And he always felt that there was something in there that was conscious, whether it was actually in the disc or if it was transmitting a signal, but he considered it a probe. And I've noticed that people who have had similar experiences may be sort of observed at times by these things, and it usually happens again later in life. In fact, we're seeing so many reports right now. If I had been a person who had seen one of these probes or discs so close by, I would be very much on the lookout right now for something to reappear because they may be mobilizing for, as we know, some kind of mass reappearance.